Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. On this blessed Friday, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word to Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. Have any question about the lesson, I'll do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that you'll bless us to assemble together this day again in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this hour that you have appointed for us to get together in your word. Father, my personal prayer to you is that you will give me the understanding and wisdom to give unto your people, to be able to lead your people unto you into your ways and to spread your word of truth in its fullness. Father, I thank you for such an opportunity as this. I thank you for being my God. I thank you for being my Father. I thank you for answering my prayer. And Lord, I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. I give invitation for your spirit to be with us in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on part 8 of the series, Listen Mormons, the book that Jesus opened. And we're talking about this book that the Lord calls the Record of the Nephite. He said to be called the Record of the Nephite. And we're looking at this, and the reason why, as I go into another series concerning changes that Joseph Smith and the Mormons made to that which God brought forth, I wanted to come before you guys with that which God brought forth first, and that is the Record of the Nephite. So we are on part 8, amen, and we left off. I was talking to you last from the Word of God to show you that, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, in dealing with this Nephite record and what it's about and how that it is a record of those who were of the house of Joseph, who also is of the house of Israel, and how that Joseph was said by the Lord to Ezekiel to let him know that Joseph is to have a book as well. We last came from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 16. And we also have been looking at where that, and talking about Joseph Smith's encounter with the angel of the Lord. This angel told him about this book that was written on golden plates and how it would contain the everlasting gospel. And I read to you from the Record of Nephite on some things that God gave his servants over here concerning even the Bible and the Nephite record growing together, and how that the Bible at one time having the plain and precious parts of the gospel, the evil Revelation 17 church took much of the, a lot of the plain and precious parts of the gospel out of the Bible to try to cause the true believers to stumble. But the Lord, who has planned above plans, allow a people that he dealt with over on this continent to give an account and take an account of God's dealing with them in the commandments and judgments, statutes that he had given them in his plainness. And therefore, the plainness of the freshest parts of the gospel is restored in this record of Nephi, and that's why it goes with the Bible. This record of Nephi is not to take the place of the Bible. I say it again. The record of Nephi, it is not to take the place of the Bible. In fact, it is an added witness because we know that God's protocol is the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, we're going to continue on about concerning this, the everlasting gospel, and this angel of the Lord told Joseph Smith that this book that is on the gold plates will contain the everlasting gospel. I want to open up, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Book of Acts chapter 3. I want to open up there, the Book of Acts chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Verses 19 to verse 21. At verse 21, it is going to be our key verse. Hallelujah. As we talk more about this Nephite record. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to verse 21. And the word said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Now, Peter, in the words that he says, God is using him to talk about this end time work of the Lord. He said the restitution of all things. He even said that Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. And that's one of the reasons why you guys hear us talk about this work of restitution, restoration. Amen. And the interesting thing about this is that if we would notice in verse 21, he talks about how the heavens must receive Christ, or how heaven must receive Christ until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So in that statement, one of the things that God is doing is pointing you back to the Old Testament. Now you may say, well, how is that, Brother Nate? Because he said here that he has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And so when you go back into the Old Testament have books of the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and Ezekiel, okay? So what he's saying here is that through these prophets, the Lord unveiled part of dealing of his restitution and restoration plan, okay? Hallelujah. Ulabashanta, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you would, let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Let's go to one of these prophets, Isaiah chapter 11. And I want to say to those of you that is listening, take what I'm giving you to the Lord. Take what I'm giving you to the Lord. Please don't be one of those people who thinks they know it all. Now, I can understand if I said something to you about worshiping demons or giving honor to demons or giving honor to that which is evil. Okay, I get it. There's no need to even consult God about that. You know I'm dead wrong. But I guarantee you, for the most part, for most of you that's listening, this is something that you have probably never heard before. So if it's something, and this is the funny thing about some people, when it's something that they never heard before, they automatically trash it. and fail to understand that many times that's a big mistake. So we have to learn as a people to, number one, remember that you don't know all everything. Number two, learn to search things out, you know, especially if it's something you never heard before. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, from Cush, from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Now, this word right here is an end time word. It is a word in the last days. Now, remember, Peter just spoke to us about a work called the restitution of all things that is to be done in this end time. In fact, Peter goes on to tell us that Jesus can't come back until that work is fulfilled. You understand that? And so here, Isaiah, because remember, the word of God tells us in Acts 3 that God has spoken it by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And so we see that it's pointed us back to the Old Testament, especially the Old Testament prophets. And we see Isaiah here who speaks about the end time. And the reason why we know it's the end time and it's dealing with this work of restitution and restoration is because in verse 11, he said, "And it should come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time." Not the first time. It's the second time. To do what? To recover his people. To recover and renew and all that is a part of restoration or restitution. Okay? So he said in this time that Peter spoke about, the restitution of all things, that God is going to recover his people. But we go to verse 12, and what's connected in this restitution, restoration, is where he said, "And he," talking about the Lord, "shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Now, he said that he should set up an ensign, okay? Now, when you go to, and I know many of you know this, and some of you may not, okay? When you go to, or let me put it this way. The Bible, some of you know this and some of you may not, was not originally written in English. So therefore, by us being in the Old Testament, we have to look up these words in the Hebrew. Now, you'll find out, especially from the King James Version, whether you are in the Old or New Testament, there are some words that is not in there, which means that the writer put a word in there to try to better clarify what's being said. Now, sometimes that's good, but sometimes it can throw you off, okay? But however, when we look at this word ensign, and we look up the original Hebrew word that was there before it was translated over to the word ensign, the Hebrew word for ensign is nace. Nace. And nace means, now I want you to listen to this, a flag, also a sail, by implicating a flagstaff, generally a signal, figuratively a token. Also, the word ensign can be looked at as being a banner. It can be looked at as being a pole, a sail, an ensign, and even looked at as being a standard. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, by it saying that it can be looked at as being a flagstaff, when we look up a flagstaff is a staff on which a flag is hoisted. okay? So, you know, when they go to sail on these boats, they have these flagstaff that raise up the flag, and that is a sign to you of what country they representing and all of that, especially these boat races they used to have on these sports channels. But here's the thing that I want to point out to you on this. I gave you all what this word ensign, according to the original Hebrew word, can be looked at as. Now, as I gave you that one of the things it can be looked at as is a standard of the Lord. Another thing it can be looked at as a sign, okay? A sign. Now, you said, Brother Nate, why are you taking me through all this? And you're supposed to be talking about this book, this Nephi record. Well, I am. Because what I'm letting you know is, since the focus of this work in these last days is the restoration and restitution, which Peter spoke about, this record of Nephi, this book, is a sign of the restitution of all things, or the beginning. It is a sign that the restitution of all things have begun when it came forth. Amen? It's a sign. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we must understand that through time, there have been times that our Lord has given a sign about a particular thing. And I'm gonna go to a couple of scriptures on this right quick. But at the same time, I don't want you to get confused. Now, you said confused by what, Brother Nate? Well, here's the confusion come in. See, there are times that God will give signs, especially of a particular event, and he gives signs at a time. But listen to me closely about what I'm going to say next, because this is where some Christians go into error. Signs is not to be your everyday walk. I'm going to say this again. Signs is not to be your everyday walk. You said, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, you know, in the Word of God, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And see, some people or some professing Christians is going forth to try to walk by signs. This is why many times they say, well, Lord, give me a sign if you want me to do this, and give me a sign if you want to do that. Well, no. Faith says, Lord, what do your word say? I'm going to go by what your word. When you stand in need of something and you pray concerning that need, but you're saying, Lord, give me a sign that you're going to heal me, or give me a sign that I'm healed, then that is not walking by faith. If he gave you that sign, that wouldn't be walking by faith. But however, on certain occasions, now understand this, especially to certain events, God had given a sign, okay? Amen. You know, some people say, well, what about the Old Testament when the thing with Gideon and things like that? He gave them a sign. That was a servant of the Lord. Well, yeah. But you must understand something. In the Old Testament, the Lord had to deal with his servants, quote, through their flesh. In other words, signs had to be given. Why? Because they were not born again. Okay? Amen. And that's how he had to deal with them to a degree. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Until they become born again. This is why God said we walk by faith and not by sight. But however, the scripture shows that there are certain signs that the Lord said will be given to indicate especially a main event. Now, let me give you what I mean for example. Let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And And I'm going to read verses 17 to verse 21. John chapter 2, verses 17 to verse 21. Okay? Now, look what Jesus said here in the Word of God here. He says, "And his disciples remembered that it was written, 'The zeal of thy house have eaten me up.' Then answered the Jews and said unto him, 'What sign?'" Now listen to what he said. "What sign?" Now remember, these Jews right here weren't born again. Let's keep that in mind. Oh, hallelujah. And he says, "What sign showest thou to us, seeing that thou doest these things?" And he's and they're talking about the things that Jesus told me before they said this. Okay? Now look what they said. Look what he said. "Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body." Now, the things that Jesus talked about that was going to be done, the Jews wanted to know, "What sign are you going to give us?" And see, Jesus knew their state. One born again, really wasn't on Jesus' side. So he accommodated them by saying, let them know, "Here's your sign. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." And see, you see, they were thinking naturally. They said, okay, this temple, you know, 46 years. Okay, was this temple built? And you're going to rear it up and raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking about his body. That was the sign. That's the sign that he was giving. Destroy this body in 3 days. I'm going to raise it up. That's going to be your sign. Hallelujah. You'll see it raised up in 3 days. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus. See, there are times for particular things that God will give a sign, okay? But once again, this is dealing with this study I'm dealing with here now. Don't take this to say that your whole life, Christian, is to be following signs. Because if you spend your whole Christian life, quote, looking for a sign, you wouldn't be walking by faith. Because remember, faith believes what God says, not having to see something first to appeal to his senses. You get that? And see, some of you think getting signs is the thing. And you fail to understand that that's hindering your faith walk. Amen. Because the primary way for the Lord, as he told to his people, we walk by faith and not by sight. The God kind of faith. Not the Doubting Thomas faith. See, the Doubting Thomas faith says, give me signs. Let me see something. And unless that happens, I won't believe. Hallelujah. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. And I'm doing this to show you that, as I told you, that the Nephite record is a sign of the restitution and restoration of all things. Hallelujah. It is a sign that it has begun. Amen. Jesus is not telling you to not believe his word, but it's a sign to let you know, okay, the work has begun. Hallelujah. So Jesus, he is a balanced God, people. And he will give a sign on some things. But once again, and I keep stressing on this because I don't want any of y'all to be misled and say, oh, well, Brother Nate said the record of Nephi is a sign of the work of the Lord in the last day. Hey, we can ask for signs, okay? Now, Brother Nate's not saying that. But Brother Nate is saying that there are times that God will give signs on certain things, not on everything, okay? You got to walk by faith. Now, look what he says in Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Now, he's talking about the end time in Christ's return, and this is what he said. He said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, notice he says there are going to be signs in the what? The sun and the moon and in the stars. You're going to see some particular thing. What does this indicate? Well, one of the things is indicating the return of Christ. But it's also indicating that we're coming to the end of that of this world age, okay? But once again, the Lord said these will be the signs. Now, he didn't tell you not to take him at his word that he said he's coming back, okay? That's the only thing about it, okay? See, we got to understand it. Just because the Lord speak about these particular signs happening in the sun and the moon and the stars, he wasn't telling you saying, okay, don't believe that I'm coming back until you see that. No. He let you know when you see that, that's your other witness, okay? Your first witness comes by the word of God itself. You understand that? Hallelujah. It comes by the word of God itself, people. That's your first witness. Remember God's protocol, the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses, okay? Hallelujah. Your first witness is the word of God. So the Lord, even though he gave this sign and said there's going to be sign in the sun and the moon and the star, he's not telling you, say, hey, don't believe what I say in my word about this until you get the signs in the sun and the moon and star. He ain't saying that. He's just letting you know that these signs is an added witness. Because your first and major witness comes through the word of God and by the Holy Ghost. Do you follow me? Hallelujah. Just like when God says, I'm going to heal you, or I've healed you through his word, then that's your first witness. And the natural healing comes from the manifestation of you believing, okay, being another witness. But this way, that witness comes from what? Your faith, your believing. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. But your first and most overall proof that you have something is your faith. The Hebrews chapter 11 says, it is the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is the evidence of things not picked up by your senses. You get that? It's your faith, not the thing itself. The thing itself is a manifestation that comes from you believing. And it comes and it witnesses even to your senses. But the first thing that has to be your first witness is accepting the word of God and you believing it. That's your evidence, your proof that you got it. Your first and great of overall witness that you got it is your faith. But I'm telling you about these signs because there are times that on particular things, Jesus would give a sign. If signs were to be the thing every time, when you look in the Bible alone, with the people that he dealt with that had sicknesses and disease, Jesus would have pointed them to a sign to look for to tell them that they healed. But he didn't. But he didn't. Remember the blind men? Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. In agreement with your faith. Amen? Jesus did not point them to a sign. Jesus didn't even tell them, okay, I'm going to give you a sign that you hear when you start seeing. He didn't say that. So there are certain things that Christ will give signs to. But the first thing he requires you is to believe his word. He is not telling you, and please hear this, God is not telling you to not believe what he says until you get a sign first. He's not saying that. These signs, like in the sun, the moon, and stars, it's like an added witness per se, okay? But your overall, in general, walk in the Lord is supposed to be by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you can say amen, oh me, you know. And this Nephite record is a sign that the restitution, restoration of all things have begun. Now, once again, the Lord Jesus ain't telling nobody, say, hey, don't believe this work of restitution, restoration until you get this sign. He didn't say that. Because, see, our God is a balanced God. He deal with us in the spiritual, and he deal with us some things in the natural. Just like, for example, I tell people that God is not only just concerned about your spiritual life, but he's concerned about your natural life as well. He told you, he said, take no thought on what you should eat or what you should drink or the food you should put on. He let you know he would supply that. Now, if he wasn't concerned about your natural need, he wouldn't be talking to you about that. He'd just be telling you everything just all spiritual. But it's not like that, people. Hallelujah. It's not like that. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pray for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I thank God for the word of God today. I thank God for his spirit, present and power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is doing a restoring even now, even personal things, people, to you. Restoring what the enemy has taken. And I'm talking about to those of you that have been walking by faith. Look for your restoration. And those of you that have been confessing it and spending time with God and thanking God for things that was taken from you, things that was destroyed. Hallelujah. Even the restoring of your soul. You know, it says in the 23rd Psalm, he restoreth my soul. You thanking God for your soul being restored, your emotions, your mental thoughts. And see, God is restoring it because you are confessing by faith. Hallelujah. See, some things some of God's people lose, and they consider it, oh, it's over with. And they think that God doesn't want to restore, but he does. See, Satan gets a kick out of taking things from you. And it's not like he got used for those things. The kick for him is to make you sorrowful, you know, and upset and depressed. That's what he's getting a kick out of. When he takes your car or your house, he don't need the car or the house. He's just taking it a part of the process to try to make you sorrowful or upset or depressed. That's what he gets a kick out of. But what he hates is when he sees that the Lord restored that to you, what the enemy has taken. And in fact, the Lord makes him doubly mad by restoring more unto you. You get that? Not just the same level you had before when the enemy took, he restored greater. That makes the enemy just pull his hair out. Amen. He'd be so mad he don't know what to do with himself, people. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the word of God today. Truly, your word is a blessing unto my soul. Hallelujah. People of God, look for what God is about to do in your life. And I want to speak to those of you specifically, once again, who have been pressing through and enduring in the faith. You're still confessing the word even though the tears are coming down your face. You're still confessing the word even though you got people telling you that, speaking against. You're still confessing the word. Watch what God is finna do. Hallelujah. Restitution, restoration. God is finna restore peace to people and joy is finna be restored. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Restoration, restitution, people, is manifesting. It's manifesting. I thank the Lord. I'm going to stop it here today. I know some of you saying, good gracious, Brother Nate, this is a short broadcast. Well, as long as I got the word out to you, that's the thing right there. You know, I know some of you listening to the broadcast, you be looking like your expectancy is to be an hour every time. And most of the time it is an hour, but I know that it's not going to be an hour all the time. Sometimes it's about getting the point out then. Hallelujah. I thank God for this word, and next broadcast, Lord said the same, will be part 9. Listen more, Mr. Book That Jesus Is Over. We're going to talk about how God calls it to be translated and come forth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. Thank you for those who have been listening. Thank you for touching them. Thank you for showing them the truth. In Jesus' name, Lord, let your word shine before their eyes. And I pray that they know the truth, that the truth may set them free. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.